This is
KUT.
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers had taught me when cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. I have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello. And welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to Southwestern University and to our sound studio.
Well, thank you so much. I'm always happy to come meet you on campus and tape some episodes here, especially on a beautiful fall day.
That's right. And you're dressed appropriately in black and gold.
You know, we discussed in a previous episode, a button had fallen off my representative Southwestern black and gold shirt. So I promised that I would, get it right. It is back.
Where is the button?
Well, it's on the shirt.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good.
It's right here.
Oh, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the button is affixed.
Back. Yes. The button is affixed. We are back up to speed, ready to go in our black and gold attire.
Thank you.
So, and that's a good thing because this episode is a bit of a tricky topic, I think. This is going to be a challenge to discuss, but I'm very eager to discuss it. So, a few episodes ago, we were answering a listener's question, and it was a really interesting question about how do you know when it's right to transfer colleges.
Yes, I remember that.
And part of that discussion had to do with the vibe of the institution, mm-hmm. and some different kind of matters. And part of that discussion was also about the quality of the education that the student felt like he or she was receiving at that institution and if it was matching his or her interests. And that got me thinking, you know, that's a whole discussion right there about what constitutes a good, and I'm putting good in quotes, a good education. You know, how does a student know if he or she is getting a good education? Mm. So, Ed, what constitutes a good education? Ready, go.
I see.
You have 10 minutes. Let's go. Thank you very much.
It's an interesting question, of course. You know, what we've talked about in previous episodes, what does formal education even mean? And, of course, good is a very subjective term. To me, I think the question is, how does one think about individualized education? Because the truth is there's no one generic litmus test that will work for all students of all sorts looking at all types of schools. And so it really is up to the individual to decide. And I don't know if good is the right word. I think effective is that. Of course, I love that word, as you know. But effective, I think, maybe is an even better word than good, because it's how do you get the most out of it? The goal is to find a place, a space, an intellectual space, if you will, where a student can thrive. And that's going to require different things for different individuals. And that's why in this country alone, we have so many thousands of institutions of various sorts, even at the undergraduate level, you know, at the post-secondary level. There's so many different types of institutions because there's so many different types of students. I would say, though, if a student is thinking about this question, the question should not be, I'll tell you what the question should not be.
Okay.
It should not be, what do I want to study and what's my major? Because we talked about how that, it's way too premature.
Mm-hmm.
But the question should be, what type of learning environment will I thrive? And then begin to unfold it from there. And so, I think that's what I would suggest as a first step.
So that means something like, if I'm reading through information about different colleges and universities and they tout something like, you know, small class size or,
right.
you know, student to teacher ratio of 7 to 1.
Right.
That might be good for mm-hmm. student A, but not for student B.
Absolutely. I mean, there are places where they teach in a biology class, you know, 500 students at a time. And that's neither good nor bad. It depends upon the student. Some student might really thrive on saying, you know what, I don't need to be front and center and have the professor looking at me every 2 minutes. It's going to intimidate me. I'd rather be back in a little bit in the darkened part of the auditorium and take it all in. Or they might say, you know, I need to be around a lot of people. I need to see a lot of strangers and I'm more comfortable being a little more anonymous. There's nothing wrong with that, but then that person will thrive in that environment rather than a class of 15 where the student feels like I'm being picked on by the professor because every 4 minutes, the professor's calling on me.
So there really aren't then, if I'm hearing what you're saying, there really aren't then sort of objective measures necessarily of a good education. And by that, I mean, if I were to look at, say, a list of faculty members from College A and College B, and everybody at College A had PhDs from Harvard, Yale, and Stanford, and everybody at College B, there was a mix of PhDs, some master's degrees, maybe a couple schools you've never heard of. That doesn't necessarily tell us a whole lot. It's facts, but it may not tell us about that effectiveness.
Interesting question. And I'd say it's related, but not identical to the first thing you asked, because the truth is where one earned their PhD and even the PhD itself is not indicative to how that individual will be as an instructor.
They could be a fabulous teacher, but didn't have the opportunity to go to a top name place.
For example, but also some people are just drawn to it more than others. And so I think there's very little, if any, correlation between the generic quality of a PhD granting institution and the teaching quality of the faculty that they produce. I think it really is a matter of personality and who the person is and what their interests are. I mean, some people will come out of with a PhD and have no interest in undergraduate education. And there's nothing wrong with that too, although I'd hope those people don't get to expose themselves too much to undergraduates because that might not be great for either party. But if someone is interested and passionate about mentoring young minds and engaging in scholarship and engaging in research with undergraduates, then you can be effective no matter what your history was.
So the search for a good, again, good in quotes, education sounds to me like it starts as much with a list of qualities of the student as it does with a list of qualities of the institution. I mean, a student has to know as much about his or herself as they do about the school, or they're not going to be able to make that match.
That's a great point. And I think a student should also be a little bit aspirational. So try.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, but try to visualize. So you're saying who that student is. Well, who does that student want to become?
Oh.
So for example, when I was in high school, I was a very, very shy, kind of introverted individual.
Really?
Yeah.
And I find that hard to believe.
Well, I'm still, I always say to people, I'm always the shyest person in the room. No matter what the population of the room is, I'm always the shyest. I can hide it really well. I'll give you that. But I'm more of a performer, which is fine. When I went to college, I realized I can rewrite history. They're not going to know my past. And I didn't want to be shy anymore. So I made a conscious effort. And so in selecting my institution, I picked a school that where I thought I could then be another iteration of myself. And it paid off dramatically, I'd say, in a life-changing way, which is the point of education. So it's not just a matter of thinking who that student is, but what does that student aspire to be? Not in terms of, I want to major in math or political science, but this is the kind of person it would be interesting to see if I could become, and then find a fit that way.
Is this even a relevant or necessary question? Am I getting a good education? Do we even need to bother wondering or worrying about that?
I would say it's the existential question. And this is why so many of these generic ranking systems garner so much attention in the media and with families and parents and prospective students, because they need something. They need some kind of foothold. But since no one has ever defined what formal education means and no one has defined what good or better means, these individuals and the media look toward these generic rankings, which are based on things that are reasonable. I mean, endowment size, as you mentioned, you know, class size, student faculty ratio, you know, these kind of things, graduation rates, very important. But does that tell you the kind of intellectual and life experience that particular prospective student will have? The answer is no.
I have so many more questions about this topic, but I don't want us to get too much further without revisiting the puzzler. Mm. We have a puzzler from the last episode.
Which was about an institution.
About an institution, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
And so, some students driving there. It was a road trip.
That's
question.
Right. So we've got, and these are alum. I think these were, well, I don't know if they are students or not. I forgot the puzzle now because I just kind of do this off the seat of my pants here. But I will tell you that today they're going to be alumni. So maybe they graduated between when I posed
the
riddle
last
and now.
Episode and this one.
So we have a small group of alums who decide they want to drive and visit their alma mater, Southwestern University. Now, Presley never goes anywhere without Lynn, and Blake doesn't know how to drive. The question is, did Lynn go on this trip or not?
All right, let me review this. Presley and Lynn always travel as a duo.
No.
No, I said Presley never goes anywhere without Lynn.
Lynn can go places without Presley.
But Presley never goes anywhere without Lynn.
Correct.
And Blake can't drive.
Correct.
So the question is, did Lynn
go on this driving trip to Southwestern?
Presley never goes anywhere without Lynn. All right, so I...
Ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing the wheels of thinking unfold. I love this. Keep going.
I think Blake is a red herring. I think Blake is riding in the back seat and is not relevant to this discussion. So
right.
I just drew a big line through Blake.
Okay, so Blake's out.
So Presley never goes anywhere without Lynn, but we know that all three of them went to get together.
I said some group of them.
Some group. And Presley never goes anywhere without Lynn. The question is, did Lynn go? We don't know. There's an answer to this? You're
yes,
looking at me.
There is
like
an answer.
There's an answer to this.
I liked your thinking. I like your thinking overall, but I really liked your thinking at the beginning, which is to focus on Blake.
Somebody's got to be driving.
Now that's a great point there. So let's just celebrate that someone's going to be
woo-hoo!
In the driver's seat now,
and it's not Blake. And we know it's not Blake. So it's got to be either Presley or Lynn.
Right.
Presley never goes anywhere without Lynn. Yeah. So the answer is yes.
Correct.
Lynn had to go.
Correct. Because if Presley drives, then Lynn has to be there
right.
with him. And if Presley doesn't go, then Lynn has to be the driver.
Right. Then Lynn can still go because Lynn doesn't have to go with Presley.
Correct.
But Blake can't drive. Woohoo!
So the answer is that it seems yes. like there's not enough information, but it turns out that Lynn, and of course, Lynn always goes Southwestern. Actually, Lynn is a real person. She's one of our board of trustees who grew up in Georgetown, literally across the street from the campus.
Oh, it was fate. Destiny.
Exactly.
So, Ed, as we wrap up our discussion about what constitutes a good education, I'm curious to know also, you know, if that is even an evaluative factor that matters to somebody, can you even know that while you're there? Or is the quality or effectiveness of an education something that you really can only grasp and evaluate once it's all done and you are out in the world and sort of using the learning and skills and habits that you acquired?
I think that it's deeper when you reflect back. So once you are a graduate of the institution and you reflect back, and I think the more years that pass, and so the more technical stuff you forget from your classes, I think the deeper the response is to the question of how effective or meaningful was that experience. However, I will say that I think as an individual going through the process, you can assess it. I'm not saying it's going to be as robust as when it's all behind you, but I think that that kind of assessment's important and gets back to that episode that you were referring to about, should I transfer? And so, in fact, I think one needs to always be reflective of these larger questions. However, we should also be very sensitive to the fact that while we're experiencing something, we might not be the best judge of how it is going. And in fact, in that episode where you referred to, sometimes you're uncomfortable. I argue that uncomfortable learning is important. So if I'm sitting there saying, boy, I'm uncomfortable now, this is not for me, this is not working. Well, in fact, maybe in 10 years, if I stuck with it, I would have reflected back at saying that was a transformational moment. I failed that thing. That changed my life. And that was the best F I ever got in my life because it led to a long string of A's that followed.
Well, Ed, thank you for making us uncomfortable. I think I should thank you for that based on our discussion.
Am I making you uncomfortable?
In a good way.
Thank you.
In the way that you are talking about. And
thank you
for helping us reflect on larger questions and for keeping our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.